It's the Rob Carson Show. Are you ready to be pod smacked? Now, here's Rob Carson.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 171. Recording on this 20th day of September 2017. I guess Friday is the first day of fall. We got a lot of stuff on the show. Lots of stuff on the show. Going to get into a little bit of Donald Trump's UN speech reaction on both sides as well. I've got some terrific stories, including a school that wants to ban the American flag, and I actually support them. It's not what you think. It's not what you think. Got to get into, an eight-year-old peewee football team taking a knee, the entire team taking a knee during the national anthem. So this is what's happening. A high school is under fire for a project reenacting slavery. That's never going to end up very well. It's not going to end up well at all. All sorts of good stuff. I think you're really going to enjoy the podcast today. I want to thank the Podcast Radio Network for carrying it. PodcastRadioNetwork.net. Every night, every weeknight, 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time and 5 o'clock Central. It's awesome to have you guys listening. If you want to write me personally, CarsonOnTheRadio@gmail.com. I hope you're enjoying the show, though. All right. I'm going to get right into it in just a second here. I want to thank the sponsors of the show, including Fountain of Life Cairo in Kansas City, where I live, 816-741-4711. Dr. Alex Nelson can take care of a number of issues, including neuropathy, hip pain, shoulder pain, carpal tunnel, neck pain, which I have, and it works. Wonderful stuff. $30 adjustments for veterans and veterans' family members, electrical stimulation, decompression for herniated low back discs. That is amazing. All right? FountainOfLifeCairo.com. NFL viewership is at a 20-year low. 20-year low. I did watch the Chiefs this weekend because, you know, I live in Kansas City. I moved around the country, so, you know, I followed a lot of different teams. But did watch the Chiefs on Sunday. It looks like CBS drew an 8.4 rating of 14.5 million viewers. That's 24% down from last year. Fox down 14 and 13% respectively from 2015. All right. 8.4 was the is the lowest for week two single header since 1998. People have grown tired of the NFL becoming a political sideshow, and it's exhausting getting lectured about the problems with society during games. This according to this column, and I believe this was on Hot Air. Yeah, you know, it bothers me. The whole kneeling and or sitting during the national anthem, or in one case, by the first week of the NFL, guy sitting there on a bench eating a banana. It bothers me. It bothers me. And the NFL is suffering because of it. I think people take it very seriously. There's something about the national anthem. I'll just go ahead and jump into this story about this football team. Entire Illinois football team of players aged 8 and younger took a knee rather than stand for the national anthem prior to Sunday's game in Belleville, Illinois. You know, this is 8 years old. They don't understand it. They only understand the optics, and this is all about the police officer who was acquitted in the killing of a black man who had heroin, led police on an 87-mile-an-hour car chase, crashed the car, had a gun, was a threat. They killed him. But to these kids, it's about a black man being shot and somebody not being punished for it. That's what it's all about. Here is the story. I believe this is from Chicago Television about the football team.
All 25, 8U, Cahokia.
KTVI Television, by the way.
The quarterback club football members took a knee during the playing of the national anthem. It happened in Belleville at Little Devils Field. Coach Orlando Gooden did a phone interview with me today to explain why.
One of the kids asked me, did I see them protesting and rioting in St. Louis? And I said, yes, I said, do you know why they're doing it?
Kids are 8 years old. They don't know. They understand a sentence. They understand something out of context. If you tried to read the judge's decision in this, they would have no clue what you're talking about. What they can understand is the coach saying a black guy got shot and a white cop did not get punished for it.
Coach says his player responded because
that's not understanding it.
Because black people are getting killed and nobody's going to jail.
I felt like it was a good teaching moment for me to circle the team up. And
teaching the kids a lie is what you're doing. You're teaching kids a lie. You're causing them to hate. That's what this is all about. as though things in the African American community in the inner city couldn't be worse. Let's go ahead and do it.
Have a brief meeting.
Gooden, who played football at Mizzou, says the kids knew about the Jason Stockley not guilty decision, so he spoke to them about that and other situations in our country. Then he explained why former...
I'm sure it was a very well-balanced opinion, too, by the way.
NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick started kneeling during the anthem.
One of the kids asked, can we do that? Those are his words. And I said, as long as we know why we're doing it, I don't have a problem with kneeling.
When the anthem started, the Kokia third graders immediately took a knee where they were standing. Their backs were away from the flag, but not on purpose, according to Good.
Okay. Like I said, these kids have no idea why they're kneeling. They don't understand. It's beyond them. It's beyond them. And for the coach to perpetrate this on them is ridiculous. You get in there and you play the game. You get your butt in there and you play the game to the best of your ability and you stand for the national anthem. When you're old enough to figure this stuff out, when you're old enough to reach to research these things, then you can be an activist. But honestly, this is, I think, just a really poor reflection on the coach. And all it's going to do is cause the kids to misunderstand and hate and hate police and resent police and on and on and on and on and on. And we continue. We've been going down this path 50 years. Might as well go down another 50 years. Anyway, very disappointing. Very, very disappointing. Talk a little bit about Donald Trump's speech in front of the United Nations. Depending on which side of the political equation, you either thought it was one of the greatest speeches in the history of mankind, given some of the bad players globally, given them what for, or you thought it was a dark and dangerous speech. that's what it's all about. I'm going to get through a couple of sound bites, but here is Stephen Collinson from CNN. It was a dark, desolate, had a whiff of authoritarianism and pulsated with threats. None of his predecessors, for instance, stood in the well of the UN chamber and threatened to wipe a country, in this case, North Korea, off the face of the planet. He did it after he said if North Korea struck us with a nuclear weapon, by the way. It was the axis of evil on steroids as the president blasted rogue states and trumpeted George W. Bush era rhetoric to put Pyongyang, Iran, Venezuela, and Cuba on notice. And he should have. It's time that the world stopped being polite in front of these people. These people are mass murderers. They imprison their people for political discourse. They starve their people. They rape their people. They torture their people. And it's time, like Ronald Reagan did with the Soviet Union. He called it an evil empire. I remember when I was, I don't know, I think it was in seventh or eighth grade. And I was kind of frightened by it. I'm like, oh, damn, he's picking a fight. Picking a fight with a nuclear power. Well, we saw that power was a paper tiger. We'll see what happens with these bad players, but he did. He put them on notice. North Korea. Here's the president talking about North Korea.
No one has shown more contempt for other nations and for the well-being of their own people than the depraved regime in North Korea. It is responsible for the starvation deaths of millions of North Koreans.
Oh my God, that's so dark. Oh, I guess North Korea created the darkness.
And for the imprisonment, torture, killing, and oppression of countless more. We were all witness to the regime's deadly abuse when an innocent American college student, Otto Warmbier, was returned to America only to die a few days later.
Okay, and so there's that. In North Korea, if you commit a crime, if you steal something, your family could be put in political prisons for generations. Did you know that? Did you know that Kim Jong-un used artillery shells to assassinate and to kill his political opponents? Did you know that?
We saw it in the assassination of the dictator's brother, using banned nerve agents in an international airport. We know it kidnapped a sweet 13-year-old Japanese girl from a beach in her own country to enslave her as a language tutor for North Korea's spies. If this is not twisted enough, now North Korea's reckless pursuit of nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles threatens the entire world with unthinkable loss of human life.
Now, think about this. When did Cuba fire a missile over Florida? You've got North Korea literally firing ballistic missiles over Japan, firing them towards Guam. They are a threat. It's time that they were put on notice. Does this mean war is imminent? No. Did it mean war was imminent when George Bush called them the axis of evil? Did it mean war was imminent when Ronald Reagan said that the Soviet Union was an evil empire? No. But it's time the truth was spoken. If you're a Democrat, you saw during the Clinton administration, Madeleine Albright take an autographed basketball and give it to Kim Jong-un's father, Kim Jong-il. How well did that work as far as stopping their missile systems and their nuclear program? Didn't work. Here's the line of the day where he called the Kim Jong-un rocket man.
The United States has great strength and patience, but if it is forced to defend itself or its allies, we will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea.
Okay, if we are forced to defend ourselves. Okay, this is not a unilateral, this is not a first strike thing. This is responding to a legitimate threat and attack by North Korea.
Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime. The United States is ready, willing, and able, but hopefully this will not be necessary. That's what the United Nations is all about. That's what the United Nations is for. Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself. Rocket Man threatens the entire world with unthinkable loss of human life.
Rocket Man. So he's calling Kim Jong-un Rocket Man. Now, I had heard the reason why the word Rocket Man was used is that it is perfectly translated in Chinese. The words are, there's no equivocation. It Rocket Man equals Rocket Man in Chinese. So they wanted it to be understood by Kim Jong-un and particularly the Chinese, because the Chinese are the ones who are really going to get North Korea to back down on their nuclear weapon systems. That's what it's all about. Oh, Aaron Burnett, actually on CNN, praised Donald Trump's use of nicknames. And honestly, I mean, they aren't terribly creative. they aren't terribly creative. I mean, Crooked Hillary, I don't know, you could do better. Or, he calls Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas. Pocahontas is funny, you see. Pocahontas is creative and funny. Pocahontas is just an Indian name.
Trump has this ability to sort of name somebody something that's absurd and humiliating, and it sticks. And nobody else would even
call her Sitting Bull.
Even think of it, and nobody else would even
call her Sitting Bolshevik.
Do it, but he does, and it sticks. Here he is with a few other people.
I call him Little Marco. Little Marco. Hello, Marco.
These are kind of like schoolyard bully chants. They really are. Listen, I was bullied. I know.
In the case of Lion Ted Cruz, Lion Ted. Lies. Oh, he lies.
See, he speaks to the American people on a level that is easily understandable. And I'm not meaning to say that the American people are stupid. But it is on a level that we, the rabble, can understand. we the rabble, can relate to, because he's not like any other politician. This is calling establishment Republicans names rather than trying to engage in the same old BS. And I'm not sure if I admire this, but it obviously resonates.
You know, Ted, he brings the Bible, holds it high, puts it down, lies. And then, of course, we have Crooked Hillary.
Crooked Hillary. There you go, yeah.
She's been crooked from the beginning.
I mean, there was something about those names that worked.
You're right. And maybe we should give Jason some credit here, too, for his work on that during the campaign. But look, Trump, you like him, you don't like him. He's a marketing genius. He says things that stick in people's minds, that is effective on the campaign trail.
It is. It works. I mean, Make America Great Again is not a genius advertising slogan. It's not a genius advertising slogan. But I wonder how many of those hats they sold. I wonder. Benny Avney, New York Post, writing about the speech. Nationalism without isolationism, Trump's UN triumph. For 50 minutes on Tuesday, President Trump dazzled and appalled UN denizens in a speech that was most detailed and reasoned defense to date of his America First ideology. Didn't shy away from attacking several other sacred cows of the Turtle Bay. Chastised the UN bureaucracy, hinted America wouldn't continue blindly pouring cash into it, and it's about damn time. Asked other countries to shoulder more responsibility in maintaining global peace and prosperity, and he went after some other countries. He went after Iran. Here he is talking about the Iran nuke deal.
The Iran deal was one of the worst and most one-sided transactions the United States has ever entered into. Frankly, that deal is an embarrassment to the United States, and I don't think you've heard the last of it, believe me. Mm-mm. It is time for the entire world to join us in demanding that Iran's government end its pursuit of death and destruction. It is time for the regime to free all Americans and citizens of other nations that they have unjustly detained. And above all, Iran's government must stop supporting terrorists.
Okay. Wow, that's dark. I mean, can you imagine that, calling out Iran, who has political prisoners of ours in their jails, who's developing nuclear weapons to use to wipe Israel off the map, for instance? Wow, that's dark. I mean, that's a dark, dark speech. Here's what Benjamin Netanyahu had to say about the speech when he was speaking in front of the UN.
And I'm a long-serving Israeli prime minister, so I've listened to countless speeches in this hall. But I can say this: none were bolder, none were more courageous and forthright than the one delivered by President Trump today.
And I might add, direct. I mean, there's no misunderstanding what he said. There's no nuance. Not at all.
President Trump rightly called the nuclear deal with Iran, he called it an embarrassment. Well, I couldn't agree with him more.
And he couldn't, because Israel's in the crosshairs. Israel is in the crosshairs of Iran. Iran has vowed to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. They haven't changed that. Didn't change after the deal was made. They still want to do it, folks. They still want to do it. Here's President Trump going after Venezuela.
The socialist dictatorship of Nicolas Maduro has inflicted terrible pain and suffering on the good people of that country. This corrupt regime destroyed a prosperous nation by imposing a failed ideology that has produced poverty and misery everywhere it has been tried.
I love the fact that he's calling out socialism like this. And in front of a body of people with, I'm sure, most of the countries have left-leaning policies.
To make matters worse, Maduro has defied his own people, stealing power from their elected representatives to preserve his disastrous rule.
The average Venezuelan lost 19 pounds last year because they're starving.
The Venezuelan people are starving, and their country is collapsing. Their democratic institutions are being destroyed. This situation is completely unacceptable, and we cannot stand by and watch.
Okay. Again, wow, that's really, really dark. Calling out the world's tyrants, the world's dictators, and putting them on notice as the most powerful country to ever exist on the planet Earth. I personally think it's about time. I think it's about time. One more soundbite. This is Donald Trump going after the UN.
It is a massive source of embarrassment to the United Nations that some governments with egregious human rights records,
yes,
sit on the UN Human Rights Council.
And it's been that way a long time.
The United States is one out of 193 countries in the United Nations. And yet we pay 22% of the entire budget and more. In fact, we pay far more than anybody realizes. The United States bears an unfair cost burden. But to be fair, if it could actually accomplish all of its stated goals, especially the goal of peace, this investment would easily be well worth it.
Okay. So that was the speech. Here's Hillary Clinton's response last night on the Colbert Show.
Did you happen to see the president's speech at the UN today?
I saw parts of it, yes.
What did you make of it?
I thought it was very dark, dangerous, not the kind of message that the leader of the greatest nation in the world should be delivering.
What did you do as Secretary of State with regard to North Korea, dear?
You are both required to stand up for the values of what we believe in, democracy and opportunity, as a way to demonstrate clearly the United States remains the beacon that we want it to be. While, of course, when you face dangerous situations like what is happening in North Korea, to make it clear, your first approach should always be diplomatic.
Yes, that's fine. But you've also got to be able to have some balls, okay? You've also, maybe the world needs a little crazy. You know, maybe the world needs a little, I won't say crazy, but Donald Trump, maybe the world needs, it's time that the world's bad actors realize we're serious about this. And it works every time. It works every single time. When you stand up, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to pull a trigger. And it's not necessarily by force, although in the international arena, it's the big stick. Okay, it's the big stick. There have been, you know, revolutions that have been peaceful. Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr. But in a world that wants to kill you, kill your family, kill your friends, and steal your property. This is what the world needs to hear. It's the don't F with me philosophy. Maybe that's what it needs to be called.
But I'd hope the president would have said was something along the lines of, you know, we view this as dangerous to our allies.
Didn't work so well for you as Secretary of State or for your president who was president for 8 years.
To the region and even
tried and true. It's been done before.
And to our country, we call on all nations to work with us to try to end the threat posed by Kim Jong-un.
Now, this has already been done. They've already got massive economic sanctions that much of the world has already signed on to, including Russia and China.
And not call him Rocket Man, the old Elton John song, but to say clearly, we will not tolerate any attacks on our friends.
Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself. Rocket Man threatened the entire world with unthinkable loss of human life.
Diplomacy is being tried. What about diplomacy has not been tried? Economic sanctions, getting the world on board for that. And then in front of the United Nations. I mean, that's already been done. It's already been done. But there's only one thing that this punk understands, and that is the use of force. That's why he's flexing his little muscle. I thought the speech was great. I thought the speech was great. We need to start acting like the most powerful country in the world. We need to, instead of cowering in front of puny little dictators, really. We I don't know if America has a self-esteem problem, or at least the left in this country has a self-esteem problem, but we shouldn't be afraid of these people. Oh, by the way, Sean Spicer's not going to get a job on any of the major networks anytime soon, I guess. CBS, CNN, Fox News, ABC, NBC, they've all reportedly turned down a chance to offer Sean Spicer a contributor job. They say that the organizations won't touch him over his lack of credibility. I think that with ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, it's because he has a D in front of, or he doesn't have a D in front of his name. Could have a reality show in the mix, maybe. I don't know what makes someone interesting enough to follow them around their house. I don't know if Sean Spicer is interesting enough for me to watch a reality show. I mean, we all know why people watch the Kardashians. They just want to see, you know, Kim Kardashian's boobs and rear end. I don't think I want to see either one of those from Sean Spicer. Okay, let's move on to some other stuff. This is apparently in Cerritos, California. This school has been going on for a while, Whitney High School. They have a slave reenactment to bring to reality slavery for kids who didn't experience. And then that would be all of them in the classroom. Here's a story from CBS2 in L.A.
It's loose tape. It's not duct tape. It's not tied really tight. You know, it's very loose just to give some sort of similar experience to the slavery thing.
Whitney High School junior Timothy Reyes had his hands taped together and was a part of a slave ship reenactment when he was an eighth grader on the Cerritos campus. A mother complained recently after getting this email from her son's teacher explaining the, quote, unique classroom activity, which was to be a surprise. Staff would act as slave ship captains, the email described, and the children slaves. After lining the kids up, the note said, they'd use masking tape to tie their wrists together, make them lay on the ground, and in a dark room, have them watch a clip from the film Roots.
Okay. This is so ham-handed. I mean, this is so ham-handed. I mean, you know that white people put this together. Nothing against white people because I'm a white person. But to loosely wrap the kids' hands in tape and put them in a dark room and make them watch Roots of all things. And by the way, a great TV series from the 1970s is just, I mean, it's not so offensive. It's just kind of dated and stupid.
Did you know this?
It's like Scared Straight kind of.
What's going on? I did not. LaMonica Bryson, a Whitney High English teacher, agrees with the decision to pull the activity from campus, which students tell me was announced today.
You know, I think that there are other ways to teach tolerance.
Yeah.
And I think that there are maybe even better ways and best practices to broach these types of sensitive topics.
Some students agree.
No, you definitely do not need to pretend to be a slave, but it was just another like hands-on experiment that was used to help simulate slavery, but it's definitely not an effective way. There's better alternatives than that.
Yeah, you know, and I don't get offended easily, and even if I do, who cares? You know, this is just kind of just I mean it's so dumb. Sorry, it's just dumb. It's not offensive. It's just dumb. Portland, Maine, they're getting rid of Christopher Columbus Day. They're going to do Indigenous Peoples Day. They're no longer going to do it the second Monday in October. The vote came after nearly an hour of public comment. Portland became the latest municipality in Maine to recognize Indigenous people instead of Italian explorer Christopher Columbus. Now, I just want to mention something real quick here. And I know what happened to the Native Americans in this country was a horrible thing. Don't get me wrong. The real estate on the planet has changed hands many, many times. This is how it happens. The world has been a cruel and vicious place in the past. It still is. Okay? Christopher Columbus was an explorer. He was searching for a trade route to India. He stumbled on the United States of America. He didn't move in and start raping Native Americans. He went back, told Queen Isabella, yo, look. So I think they should maintain Christopher Columbus Day and have a separate Indigenous Peoples Day if that makes you feel better about yourself. Apparently a lot of Italian Americans not too happy about it. Including representatives of the Italian Heritage Center. They opposed the proposal in Portland. They said Columbus Day is less about a celebration about one individual and more a celebration about Italian-American heritage. Mariano D'Alfonso said this is like a slap in the face to the Italians who reside here. Steve Calmanetti, who grew up in Portland, now lives in Falmouth, said he didn't want to argue whether Christopher Columbus is a good or bad man. Instead, he highlighted the fact that Portland and America in general is a nation of immigrants. And by the way, the Vikings were here first. So do we have a Vikings Day? We should get rid of that. We look at this as something that celebrates our contribution to the city of Portland and the country overall. We understand all of these things are tainted in history. Portland resident Jen Sorkin was more blunt. Columbus was a murderer. He's a rapist. He's an enslaver. No, he's not. He's dead. You're using the present tense. I think he died a long time ago. I could be wrong. Maybe it was 1970. If he were alive today, there'd be no doubt he would be on death row. It's absolute nonsense. So, you know, the holiday will stay in schools till the board votes on it, but I'm sure it'll go bye-bye. We're kind of on this, you know, there are a lot of things that are very in vogue right now. The kneeling during the national anthem, the taking down of Confederate monuments, the defacing of Confederate monuments. We are moving incrementally towards banning a whole bunch of stuff. We've got people now saying the national anthem itself should be changed because it's racist. I got into a debate on that yesterday on Facebook. And I said there were a lot of people who stood proudly black, white, every color creed when that song is played, and it doesn't mean anything but celebration of the country and a pride that we live here and a genuine appreciation for living here, for being born here, or being able to become a citizen here. Whatever, take it for what it's worth. It gets a little bit upsetting. So a school has banned American flags for a pep rally. And I kind of agree with it, I guess. Administrators at a public high school in New Hampshire have banned students from using American flags as props or clothing at a forthcoming pep rally because the administrators are concerned that students will treat the flag disrespectfully. Whoa, 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 really? Really? Londonderry High School sent out a letter with a bunch of rules for the kids, and most of the rules were standard, you know, no insults about opposing teams, that sort of stuff. The students who did receive the letter did notice the added rule about the U.S. flag. The rule read, no use of the American flag, do not wear, carry, present the American flag on the floor. Students and parents started to kind of, wonder what's going on here. And the school said basically it was not our intention to ban the use of the flag at the rally, but instead to limit how students are including the flag in a school event. There have been incidents in the past where students carried flags in a manner not consistent with the American Legion flag code. As previous rallies, some students have included it as part of an outfit, allowing the flag to drag on the ground. The email was simply meant to avoid repeating any inadvertent disrespect to the nation's flag. Wow! I can't believe that! It's being said in 2017! In this insane world of political correctness, it's being said. I cannot believe it. Wow, 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 wow. All right. Oh, man. Listen to this story. This is people wanting so badly to not offend people have done something even more offensive than the original offense. One Utah school district. They were trying to decide what the mascot should be. This is Corner Canyon High School. I guess it's a new high school. So the students chose the mascot, the cougar, because the cougar lives in the mountains there. They're very popular in Utah. All right? Brigham Young University uses the cougar for a mascot. Well, the school district overrode the students because they say that, are you ready? You ready for this? Because a cougar would be disrespectful and insensitive to women. That is so offensive on the face of it. Cougar is a name, Principal Mary Bailey said, carries an ugly connotation that is disrespectful to women. In popular culture, the cougar obviously is about an older woman going after younger men. And it's just been popularized literally in the last, 10, 12 years. My wife and I watched a show on TV. It's called Cougar Town. It's a really funny show, actually. School board consists of 6 men and 1 woman. Thought the charger would be more appropriate. That can be insulting to women, too, because you have, you know, charge cards. Was not on the ballot, but failed to appeal to students as the Cougar had. So that's what they're going to do. They're going to do the charger. The charger. Do you get what I'm saying? It's more offensive to say that Cougar means older woman going after younger men than just a cat. I mean, it's not like they're going to have an older woman as the mascot running around after, you know, some of the basketball players during the game. I mean, really, it's just wow. Holy heck. Oh, this is good news for me and maybe for you if you have a... I've got a tween and I've got a young man who's going to be 18 years old in November. My son and daughter. Teenagers are less likely to drive, date, have sex, and engage in typical adult behavior, according to a study published in the Journal of Child Development. Yes! Good news! Good news! Because the millennial generation lives a relatively plush life, they don't enter into the kind of survival mode that kids in previous generations had. Like mine. The author of the study... It's called Why Today Superconnected Kids Are Growing Up Less Rebellious, More Tolerant, Less Happy, and Completely Unprepared for Adulthood. Well, there is that. Listen to this statistic. Roughly 30 years ago, 86% of high school seniors had gone on at least one date, but only 63% of kids between 2010 and 2015 have dated. The past 30 years, the number of high school students with jobs has fallen from 76 to 55%, and the percentage of those who've tried alcohol by the time they go to college has fallen from 93% to 67%. Again, good news for me. Here's one of the kids was questioned by Washington Post, 17-year-old Quattro Musser. Says, it seems sort of ridiculous to be seriously dating someone in high school. I mean, what's the plan here? Continuing to date through college and eventually get married? That seems sort of unrealistic. Kids in high school are having less sex. Oh, I love this. Thank you. 54% were having sex in 1991 compared to 41 as of 2015. Good. You know, I'll just be honest. I was a good kid. I was a good kid in high school. A guy in Germany, I don't know what kind of workout he was doing, but he got his penis stuck in the hole of a 2.5 kilogram weight at the gym. Yeah, again, you just put that on the bar and put the neck on it, I guess. I don't know. With the help of a grinder and a hydraulic saw. Boy, that'd be the most nervous man you could possibly imagine, wouldn't it? You got a grinder and a hydraulic saw working very close. They were able to break the weight into 5 parts, freeing the man's penis. Don't get any ideas. It's not a new workout. That's not a workout you want to try. A couple kind of lighter stories. The gaseous beers in the world. The ones that have the most carbonation make you belch, make you bloat a little bit. Number one doesn't surprise me. I'll get to that in a second. Guinness Golden Ale is number 10. 2.27 liters of CO2 per pint. I'm not going to get into the statistics about how much CO2, but you got to think, you know, CO2 is a pollutant that this is causing greenhouse gases, right? Every time you go, bleh. Cobra Indian Lager is number 9. Foster's Lager, number 8. Pilsner Urquell is number 7. Heineken is number 6. John Smith's Bitter, I don't even know what that is. Bud Light is number 4. Corona Extra is number 3. Gaseous Beers, Stella Artois, and Coors Light. They're number 2. And number 1 on the list is good old American Budweiser. Good old American Budweiser is the gaseous beer out there. The gaseous beer in the world. Good to know. Oh, there was this couple. Have you seen this couple? They Seth Dixon and Ruth Marie Salas. They're a Missouri couple. Tried to get engaged on a bridge last week. He dropped the ring in the water. Jimmy got them to come to L.A. by telling them they were interviewing on 2020. And then ultimately gave them a a do-over on television. Here's the audio from the original video of the ring dropping. Okay, so that's the original video, and I took a little heat on social media because I thought it looked staged. I thought it looked like a stunt. If it was a stunt, it worked beautifully. Here's what happened on Kimmel's show.
We just thought that we were just going to be in the audience as guests.
I see. Yeah. But why did you travel to L.A.?
Well, we're actually interviewing, 2020 tomorrow.
Yeah, no,
morning.
You're not, actually. We made that up. Yeah, there's no 2020 interview. This is what you're here for. Are you disappointed?
No, okay. Not at all.
So then you guys had a bunch of friends from your church. I think we have a photograph of this. They all got in to help, but nobody was able to find it.
No.
And now here we are. The reason I brought you here is I want to give you a do-over. An I do-over is what I really want to give
an
you.
An I do-over,
we
yeah.
have built a bridge.
Oh my God. Nice.
You ever watch the show The Bachelor or The Bachelorette?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so we called a friend. Bring out the friend. This is Neil Lane from... He's.
No.
Show them what you have in that little box.
This
Neil
little
has
box?
Something special for you.
It's an oval-cut diamond ring.
It's an oval-cut diamond ring.
There you go.
Surrounded by 100 smaller diamonds.
100 wow. smaller diamonds? Is that Jeez. As nice as the ring you lost? We never got to see that.
I mean...
Okay, it's probably a lot nicer, actually. So anyway, that's what happened last night on Kimmel. That's going to wrap it up for episode number 171. Want to thank our sponsors, Grass Monsters KC. They do American-made mowers, including the Hustler mowers, the line of mowers, including the Raptor Flip-Up, the Raptor SD, the Raptor Limited, commercial and industrial. And residential mowers, all right? American-made with terrific warranties. Also, the Silver Eagle from Dixie Chopper. And there's a line of them. I have a Silver Eagle. It's a magnificent commercial mower. And these are made in Indiana. So they are built like a brick excrement house. 5520 Raytown Road, Raytown Mow, grassmonsterskc.com. Ask to talk to Andrew. And, of course, Fountain of Life Chiropractic. Dr. Alex Nelson, thank you for being a sponsor. 8335 North Congress Avenue, KC Mow. The number is 816-741-4711, 816-741-4711. All right. You can, of course, if you are listening tonight on the Podcast Radio Network, podcastradionetwork.net, I greatly appreciate that. I would love it if you would support this show by sharing it on social media. The listens are now the number two most listened to show on the Podcast Radio Network. This after just about a month. So thank you. God bless you for doing that. It's absolutely awesome. If you would share, let's take that number up to 100,000 people a month or more, because it is podcasting is a brilliant thing. It's a wonderful thing to not be told what music to play and what to say. It is a wonderful time to experience the oral media. You can catch me on Facebook, Rob Carson Show, on Twitter at Rob Carson, and of course, download the show, iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, YouTube, all under the Rob Carson Show. Have a glorious rest of your day, and we'll see you back here for 172 tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to The Rob Carson Show. Friend him on Facebook at Carson Show, on Twitter at Rob Carson, and on Instagram, I think Facebook and Twitter are enough for now. We'll see you soon.